Good morning. I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is Dr. Alfonso Soto. Dr. Soto is a CPA. He's also an attorney, and he's a professor here on campus. He's on the faculty, teaches in the College of Business, and he teaches, that topic that everybody wants to avoid during this time of year, and that's taxes. And we'll talk a little bit more about taxes in Texas in just a minute. That's hard to say. Thank you very much for being with us here, Alfonso.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, as far as teaching the taxes, what are you teaching them how to prepare taxes, or are you teaching them the laws of, or just about everything?
Well, this is the, let me just make a clarification, even though I have a Juris Doctor
degree.
Well,
you're a doctor. Attorney.
In the College of Business, I'm not recognized as a doctor. Okay, so I'm kind of between doctorate and master's.
But you're one on the radio.
But I'm the one on the radio.
That's right.
Doctor. You're right.
Okay, Dr. Soto.
So what I teach is an individual income tax class, and that's the introductory class. So we go through a lot of the concepts that are essential for taxes, and we also prepare some returns.
But we were talking about this before the program started, the fact that, you know, people talk about, well, I'm going to get this much, or I have to pay this, or I'm dreading doing it because I know I'm going to have to pay. What would you tell people as far as getting prepared so they don't get any surprises at the end of the year?
Right. Well, what I tell people is throughout the year, you know, they need to keep all their receipts. And what I recommend is that you have a big envelope, you know, in the kitchen or in your home office. And anything that has to do with taxes goes in that envelope. So at the end of the year, when it's time to prepare the returns, then you are not scrambling trying to find those receipts for donations to church or things of that sort. Everything's already there together.
Now, there's very few of us here in El Paso, I would imagine, who donate chunks of money to write it off. Like we read about people who, you know, give $100,000 as a deduction, whatever. So people are going to say, well, how much can I deduct, and is it worth it because I don't make that much money?
Well, it's good to help. Right. So if you want to help, it's good to give money. And the little extra is that you get or you might get a deduction for that. And you will get a deduction if you itemize on your income tax return, which means you file that Schedule A. Most of the people that itemize, it's because they have a mortgage and they pay property taxes. So those two expenses usually will take you. Your itemized deductions to a level where you pile other things up and you can get a benefit. So if your house is paid off and you give to charity, you're probably not going to be able to get a benefit of those deductions.
Alfonso, what would you say is perhaps the biggest mistake people make when they are itemizing, that they forget to deduct something, or they could have gotten a bigger refund, or could have gotten probably not had to pay as much? What is the biggest mistake they make?
Well, what I see a lot is that they don't keep track of donations to church. A lot of people give cash to church. So if you just put a $20 bill or a $10 bill in the basket every Sunday, there's no way for anybody, you or even the church, to keep track of that. So what I tell people is, if you can, write a check. Or if you want to do it by cash, use the envelopes that the churches provide. You know, that once you're enrolled in a church, they'll give you a set of envelopes for each Sunday. And that's how they can keep track of your donations. And at the end of the year, most churches will give you a report saying, thank you for your contributions. We receive so much from you. So that's a deduction that a lot of people make, and it just goes away because nobody can.
Are there any changes this year that the president made that perhaps people need to be aware of?
The most important change right now is the Obamacare taxes. Right, there's the Affordable Care Act has penalties for people that did not have the medical insurance during 2014. And we're seeing a lot of that. Probably not for people on campus because they have insurance provided by the university. But outside of that, that's probably the biggest change that I've seen this year.
You mentioned that you're a faculty member here and you teach the beginning income tax class to students. What are some of the things that students need to be aware of? Because some of the students live on their own. They have an apartment. they're paying out of their own pockets. Some of them have loans, some of them have grants, and then some of them still live with their parents when they're not in school.
Right. Well, what I tell the students is that even they may not have enough income, they may not make enough money to be required to file a tax return. If they work, they may want to still file because that's the way they can get a little refund, maybe the amounts that were withheld from their checks during the summer. You know, $100 in your pocket when you're in school, it's a lot of money.
And what about the parents? At what point should they not claim their?
Well, the rule is that the kids, if they're 24 or younger and they're full time student, they can still be claimed by the parents. And we get some of the questions. Well, you know, they don't live with the parents because they're out of town. The absence to go to college is not considered that you don't live at home. You're still considered to live at home even if you're going to college out of.
We have a tricky situation here, Alfonso, where we live so close to the border of New Mexico, and New Mexico has an income tax.
Right.
So what do people do if they work in New Mexico but they live here or vice versa?
All right. New Mexico, if you live in El Paso and work in New Mexico, you will have to pay income tax in New Mexico as a non-resident. That's how you do it. If you live in New Mexico, then you have to pay income on all the income that you make, just like you do for your 1040. If you live in El Paso, you only pay on the New Mexico-sourced income.
Now, do people, if they do live in El Paso and work in New Mexico and they pay taxes, do they have to file a state income tax?
Yes.
They have to pay, or do they usually get refunds?
Well, most of the people, if they're employees, you know, their employer will withhold taxes for the New Mexico return. Most get a refund, but you know, depending on how much your income is and what other sources of income you have from New Mexico, you may have to pay.
What is the biggest question you would think, or perhaps you're surprised when you're teaching this class, the students, the misconception that they might have about income tax?
Well, it's very interesting because a lot of these students are barely getting introduced to the concept of taxes. You know, they're barely starting to work. You know, little jobs in the summer or during college, and they're really not aware of what that implies. So it's awakening for a lot of them that you have to start paying taxes. You're a grown up now.
Now, this is one of the important things of as a CPA, and this is perhaps one of the busiest times of the year for you all CPAs and also tax attorneys. What is the most common problem? Is it people who don't file or need to file late to ask for
an extension?
Delay,
yeah.
Extension?
My practice is concentrated on the legal side, but we do some preparation in the office too. Many people are surprised when I tell them that I have more work after April than before because most of my clients ask for extensions. You're entitled to a four-month extension, automatic. You only file it. You don't have to explain why you need more time. The only question and issue is that it's an extension to file, not an extension to pay. So you still need to do an estimate of your taxes. You need to send them by April 15, even though you may be able to file your return up to October.
As people are surfing the internet, perhaps looking up the IRS website or anything else that they may see during this time of year, they have a lot of pop-ups anyway. But you had mentioned earlier about some of the scams that come about either on the internet, telephone, or by mail.
Right. There's two scams right now that are common here in El Paso, and the everywhere, but I've seen them here in El Paso. Is the first one is by phone. People are getting calls from, and there's somebody on the other side of the telephone that says, "I'm calling you from the IRS. You owe money. We've been trying to locate you, and we haven't been able to. And if you do not pay right now, we're going to have the cops go arrest you."
So the IRS will never call and demand
money? The IRS will never call you. The first contact when you owe money, the first contact the IRS will have with you will be through letters. And you'll get two or three letters before things get
Harry.
You know, Harry, yeah. But usually the IRS, the first contact will be by correspondence. So if you get those calls, the only thing you need to realize is, even if you have IRS problems, okay, even if you owe money, they're not going to put you in jail. And certainly they're not going to tell you on the phone that you're going to jail. So that's a scam. They're trying to get either a credit card, a debit card, or even a check. I had a client that said, you know, wait there. Somebody's going to come by you and you can give them a check. Absolutely. It's not true. There's a similar scam, and that's phishing, you know, with a PH. And you get emails that say, you know, this is from the IRS. We need some information from you, verify your social, verify your income. They're just trying to get information from you. Again, the first contact always comes through a letter, regular mail.
What about situations, and we're very unique, of course, living here in El Paso near New Mexico and Mexico. What about people, Mexican students who come to school here and live here? Are they required to pay income tax?
Right. If you live in the United States, either you're a U.S. citizen, you have a permanent resident visa, or you spend in the country 183 days or more, then you are a resident for tax purposes. And what that means is you have to pay taxes on all your income. It doesn't matter where you earn it. Okay. For the people that come from out of the country, if they're not here 183 days, then they report only income that they generate from the U.S. There's some exceptions, important exceptions. For example, income from a CD in a bank, those kinds of things are exempt for foreign individuals.
You mentioned the phishing and the scams, and of course, not all of them are scams. But I would imagine that people have to make sure that they know who they're dealing with, because this time of year, you also see signs on Facebook or little ads. Somebody will slip a paper on your door that somebody does taxes, and you can go to them and, you know, get your refund now. And in some places, we'll even say you can borrow money off your refund.
Well, let's talk about the refund anticipation loans. It's really a loan, okay? They're not giving you your refund. And the problem that you have to be aware of is that the interest rates are very high, because they may charge you 10-15% to give you the money up front, but you're only waiting for 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks to get your money. So if you take 15% for the whole year, not for just for that month or so, it's the interest rate, it's outrageous. So if you don't have to get a loan, don't do it, because it's very expensive. A lot of the people that were offering that, the companies are no longer doing it, because it's considered even a predatory lending, because the rates are so high. So if you can avoid it.
And what about getting your taxes prepared by someone who is not a professional like yourself?
Right. Well, what you need to look at when you're selecting a tax preparer is make sure that they have the ability to e-file. That's file your return electronically. The reason that's important is, in order for you to do that, the IRS will do a little background check on you. So if you have that number and you're authorized to file electronically, the IRS at least took a little look at you, and they know you're not a thief, or you haven't been convicted of something major, you know, fraud or things like that. The other thing is, you want to pick somebody that will charge you based on the work they do, not on the size of your refund. Okay, that's very important, because some people will tell you, you know, I'll guarantee the maximum refund, or, you know, I get the highest refunds than anybody else. And there you have to be careful, because there's a tendency or an incentive to inflate that refund. Okay, so they may give you deductions that you're really not entitled to, because your refund will grow. They'll get a higher fee. You'll get your money more than likely, but in 2 or 3 years, you may get a letter from the IRS saying this deduction may not be good, or we need information, and then you have to give the money back, but they don't have to give the fee back. You got to be careful with that. So pick somebody that will charge you based on the work, not on the amount of the refund.
We've been talking a lot about a lot about issues here, tax issues, and perhaps there's something that we didn't cover that somebody wants to find out more about. And as I mentioned, you're on the faculty here in the College of Business. So is there a phone number or a web page that they can go to find out more about, you know, some of the tax questions or about your class?
Right. I mean, I'm listed on Blackboard, and my email is there. I'm also on the faculty profile, and my email is asoto41@utahpdu.edu.
Thank you very much for being with us here today.
Oh, you're welcome.
We've been visiting with Alfonso Soto. Alfonso is an attorney, a CPA, and also on the faculty here at the University of Texas at El Paso. And he teaches our students about tax preparation, tax laws, etc., and also tips about we talked about tips and taxes and filing your taxes, what to get, what not to get, and what to look for. And if you can find out more, you can email him at asoto41@utep.edu. Alfonso, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.